Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
Good morning. How's it going? Psalm 82:3, give justice to the poor and the orphan, uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute, rescue the poor and the helpless. That's our call, isn't it? Is to rescue the poor and the helpless. I got to speak to your kids during kids' church before I came in here, and so Pastor Nathaniel came up and he said, hey, you want to speak to the kids? And you know, I'm anti-human trafficking. I'm like, oh, I've never spoken to kids about this. So I went in there, and so just so you know, I talked to them, and I said, hey, have you guys been to Walmart, and you see the missing kid posters? You know, they're at the restroom area. That's kind of where. And they were all like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, well, we go into cities. We work with law enforcement. We find those kids. And so, you know, just trying to share with them if they have any questions. Showed them a self-defense. We do self-defense training for women. I showed them one of our grip escapes. So, Levi, your daughter may be wanting to show you something later. So it happens. It's a lot of fun. But what an honor to be with you guys this morning. Pastor Steve called me and said, we're doing a Rescue Sunday for Project Rescue. I know you're with Free International. But would you come and speak? And he said, I want you to know, though, the offering is going to Project Rescue. And I said, man, what an honor to be able to come and speak for Project Rescue. So David and Beth Grant were part of my journey into going into missions, going into anti-human trafficking. I remember going to a seminar they spoke at in Kansas City. I took one of my friends from Generations Church, Jimmy Buster, went with me up to this teaching, and I was just impacted. And we come to that place, and you'll see this. Yeah, you know, I'll talk about it a little bit this morning. We come to that place where we get kind of tired of hearing about it, don't we? To where we do something about it. And I think that's what God wants to do with us this morning. He wants us to not just continue to hear about something horrible in our world today, but he wants us to be a part of doing something about it. I'll say this a couple times. I want you to think about what you can give to Project Rescue today. I want you to even now begin to think, what can I do? What can I do? I said it earlier, and I was praying about it as I was, you know, thinking about the message, praying about this. You know, they said hundreds of thousands, 680,000 lives have been affected by Project Rescue. 680,000 lives, that's amazing. They've been in 16 countries, 38 cities, and they now have 28 safe homes. And again, it started with 30-some little girls that were rescued from a brothel. And just amazing. But I wrote this down, and I want to read it. Today's offering is life-altering. You with me? I mean, you may wonder, you know, what does this do? What does this contribute to this mountain of human trafficking? What does this do? I mean, today's very cool. Today, all across Kansas, Assembly of God churches have been asked to contribute to this offering today. Over 140 churches have asked. I don't know if they'll all do it this Sunday, but sometime between now and the end of the month, they've all been asked, would you do a Project Rescue Sunday? Would you take up an offering for this amazing ministry? And we're going to make a dent in human trafficking. Amen? Real quick, a lot of people ask, how was Las Vegas? If you follow me on social media, we do some updates, but we just got back from Las Vegas. We were there for the Super Bowl, prior to the Super Bowl, actually. So we went in with canvassing efforts, this time 3 days before our big search operations. So we had, how many was it? 98 community volunteers from 10 states came to Vegas. and just canvass the area. Canvass Las Vegas as much as they could. The results were 105 missing child tips. We located 16 missing kids in 5 days. And we also caught 2 human traffickers and 1 sex offender. They were arrested. This year was a little bit different. We had a team called Apex. So we're broken down into operations teams when we go in. This was really cool. We took a team from Kansas. So I've been training in an OSINT team, an open source intelligence team, here in Kansas, and actually took that team with us to Vegas this year. We were one of the teams. We were Team Delta. And so they were our team. And so out of the 16, we located 3 of those kids. Kansas did. So very cool to be able to see what God's continuing to do in this ministry. But one of the teams, like I said, was Apex. They were locating pimps all week. So they were trying to find known sex offenders, known pimps in the area. We were documenting them and getting info on them to be able to turn that over to law enforcement. And again, 2 were located that week. So just an amazing week. Thank you guys for your support. You guys support Free International Monthly through your church, and I know you guys are praying for us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Would you give yourselves a big round of applause? I can't do what I do without you guys. Well, I'm thinking about it. It's good to have my wife with me. So she's not normally traveling with me, but she was able to make it up here. And I noticed somebody came. I've told her story, our story. It's she was diagnosed with leukemia how many years ago? 8 and a half now? Yeah, 8 and a half years ago. So she goes in every 6 months, and they take a bunch of blood and do a bunch of blood work and, confirm that she's still in remission. And so she is still in remission. So we're thankful. So thank you guys for prayers. Luke 10:25. Let's go there. I noticed some children and stuff in the audience. Today's message is a little bit different. I try to keep it PG-13 as much as I can, but just want to make you aware that some of the content that we do go over is adult in nature, okay? Luke 10:25. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. I know you want to challenge us today. I know you do. I know you want us to take a look inside of our own hearts, God, to do an inventory spiritually in our own lives, and God, help us to maybe even think about our perspectives of others. So God, I know we don't just come to church, Lord, to sit down, listen to some music, listen to a guy speak and leave. We come to be challenged by the Word of God so that we can grow to become more like you. And that's my prayer, that we can become more like you today in Jesus' name. Amen? Luke 10:25, one day an expert in the law stood up to test him, Jesus, talking about Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. Is it really that simple? It is. It really is. We complicate it, don't we? We complicate it by, can I do this? Can I allow this? Well, what about this? We complicate it, but it's not. It's love God. Does everything that you're doing in life, does it fit on that road? Love people. That's our guardrails, isn't it? So it really is that simple. I've done a whole series on this, actually, love God, love people, but there it is. So verse 28, you've answered correctly, Jesus said, do this and you will live. But the guy keeps going, doesn't he? But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor? What an interesting question, isn't it? Who is my neighbor? Why did he do this? That's kind of what I ask. Why did the guy want to know who his neighbor was? And here's the thing. What I found, what I read, what I studied, he wanted the assurance that he had already done this. I think he felt good about the first part. He didn't ask about that. How do I love God more, right? How do I love God with my heart, my mind? He didn't ask that. He asked, who's my neighbor, right? And I think he was thinking, I followed the rules. I just need you to clear it up for me so I can feel better about myself, I guess. I don't know. Who's my neighbor, right? So Jesus took up the question. Verse 30. That's what it says. Jesus said, all right, I'll go there. And this is what he did. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of the robbers, they stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So there was a 21-mile stretch of road between Jerusalem and Jericho. It was called the Red or Bloody Way. So it was known for this type of activity. It was known for men getting beat to death bloody. That's how it was known. This guy was in bad shape. Half dead. So just kind of get that in your mind. And then he goes on, verse 31. Now by chance, a priest was going down the same road. But when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. People in trouble are inconvenient, aren't they? Is that fair? People in trouble are inconvenient. Why? Because you got plans today. We got plans. If somebody calls and they're in trouble, that's inconvenient sometimes, isn't it? And that's what it was to this priest. It was inconvenient. And here's the thing. If the guy was dead, the priest knew, I'm unclean for 7 days now, according to Numbers 19:16. If someone is in an open field, touches the corpse of someone who was killed by a sword or even died natural death, or if someone touches a human bone or grave, that person will be defiled for 7 days. So this guy is out of work for 7 days. He's a priest. He's got a lot to do. So he knows that's inconvenient. And what does it say? He saw him and he passed by on the other side of the road. He went out of his way to ignore the guy laying there bloody, beaten, half dead, a priest. So too, when a Levite came to that spot, he saw him. He saw him. What does he do? Pass by on the other side of the road. So, I mean, he too, right? This is an inconvenience. Levites, this is what Levites were in charge of. It was their duty to transport various parts of the temple, the sacred utensils. It was their duty to see that the tabernacle and the temple were kept clean, to prepare supplies for the sanctuary, such as oil, incense, wine. Again, 7 days, can't work. Man, that's super inconvenient. I saw him pass by on the other side of the road. But Jesus says this, but when a Samaritan, and you can hear the brakes screech in his head, what Jesus just said was like, oh no, I know you're not going to go there. These two people groups hated each other. Israelites and Samaritans hated each other. And this goes back hundreds of years, right? Like, the Israelites called this people group dogs. Like, they were despised. They were looked down on. They had intermarried with some Jewish people, and so they were looked as less than. Now this guy's struggling with what he just heard, because he knows what's coming, right? When a Samaritan on a journey came upon him, he looked at him. What did the other two do? They saw him. It was kind of like a glance, wasn't it? Like, oh, don't look. Because if I look, I got to deal with it, right? If I look, I may see the brokenness. I may see how bad of shape he's in, and it's easier just to keep going, isn't it? But in this translation, it says, this guy looked at him, and he had compassion. So number one, he looked at him. I believe his perspective was different. What's your perspective when you drive down Broadway in Wichita? Anybody drive down Broadway? Man, every chance I get, I'm in that area, and my wife called me the other day. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm driving down Broadway. Because that's like, man, that's like my heartbeat. I mean, that's where the brokenness is. That's where the girls are walking. And you may, you know, be driving down there, and you may see a girl that's really not got a lot of clothes on at all. And you're like 14, 15 years old, and immediately you can go, why does she do this? I mean, doesn't she think better of herself? I mean, why doesn't she just leave? Maybe you've thrown a name or two at her. And that becomes our perspective. Did you know her dad OD'd when she was like 10 or 11 years old? Did you know her mom's a meth addict? Did you know she was put in children's homes, moved around from family to family? I mean, did you know she just wanted a mom? She would do anything to just have a mom, to have a family to go back to. Did you know she just wants love? She has a misunderstanding of what love is today, but she just wanted love. And in that, she was able, she found men that would show her love for drugs. That was Sage Collette. Just a 14, 15-year-old girl just, we tell people they're running from something or to something, right? And I remember 2 years ago getting that notification. She was found deceased in a hotel on Broadway. It changes our perspective, doesn't it? Every person that I see when I drive down that road, every person when I'm in Las Vegas, when I'm in, we're on the streets of Detroit, when I see someone that's on the streets, living on the streets, my mind has to go to, man, what was their backstory? Because they didn't choose this. I don't know how they got here, but I want to know how they got here. I want to know their story. That changes our perspective. Number two, he had compassion. I love the Greek word for this. Splochnitzomai. Can you say that? Splochnitzomai. Say it. It's a fun word, isn't it? You're just like, that's a kind of a cool word. And it has this, it's a deep feeling that moves you deep down in your gut, right? I remember seeing people walk out of the Sound of Freedom and tears just streaming down their face, and they were moved. They were moved by compassion. So it was like, this is how we would express our feelings. It would say, it would be like, I look at my wife and I love you with all of my intestines. That's what it meant. Romantic. I know, you know, it's like. So this is what he did. Verse 34, he went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper. Take care of him, he said, and on my return, I will repay you for any additional expense. Number one, he went to him. First step, go to them. Go to them. He addressed his immediate needs. What needs done right now? Well, you need bandages. We need to put some oil. You know, we got to get the first aid kit. We got to take care of this. And then he used his own personal possessions. Put him on his own donkey, right? I'm going to give you a ride. 21 miles, right? But I'm going to give you a ride. Then he gave him shelter. And then he provided financially over above. And then Jesus looks at this guy and says this, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He just said, neighbor is not what you think it means. Right? Do you hear me this morning? That's what God's saying to us. Neighbor is not what you and I think it means. Is it that person, that people group, that area that maybe you would call an enemy? It's the people group that, well, you fill in the blank, right? Is that challenging? Well, it should be, isn't it? But the guy said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Who is my neighbor? You are their neighbor. You are. You realize that's what the whole story's about, isn't it? When the guy's like, who's my neighbor? Jesus is like, well, you are. You're the one called. You want to talk about being good. You want to talk about eternity. That's how this whole conversation started. How do I get there, right? Take care of your neighbor. Take care of the guy that you pass by, that you see that's beaten and he's down and he just needs somebody to pick him up and help him. Be that neighbor. Two letters. Two-letter words that can change your world. Go, do. Go and do. You know, there's someone that's in this conversation, in this congregation. Anne went to a women's conference a couple years ago. And she came home and she said, I met this person who heard me speak and said, I'm going to buy a house so that we can help young ladies in Wichita that are caught in human trafficking. Go do. Like the video that we watched earlier, human trafficking is a problem bigger than we can fathom. And when I say it is bigger than we can fathom, I mean it's bigger than we can fathom. In 2005, the International Labor Organization, affiliated with the UN, estimated that there were 12.3 million persons who were victims of labor or sex trafficking worldwide. And that was a massive number in 2005. July 2012, they released another number. They had better ways of collecting the data, and they came up with 20.9 million in 2012. In 2017, the new estimates are 40.3 million. 40.3 million. And the number, of course, is 1 in 4 victims of modern-day slavery are children. They're kids. One of the young ladies, I don't think I told this story yet. I told it in the first one. You were with me. The story about pulling up to the hotel where the car didn't start. I haven't told that yet, have I? So one of our guys, we got a tip in Vegas, and they pulled up to a place where we thought a girl might be. They waited and waited and waited. And Finally, they were ready to move on. They had sit there for a while, and the guy went to start his car. It was a new car. Should have started. First time. Didn't start. Pushed the button. Didn't start. Weird. Went to try to start the car again. It didn't start. Third time. Pushed the button. Didn't start. What's going on, right? They looked up, and across from them, out of the hotel, walks our missing girl. She goes and gets in the van, and they go to start the car, and the car starts. And they were able to follow the van, call in law enforcement to come and help. They pulled over the van, and in the van was the trafficker, the second in command, and our girl. And I remember, you know, it's all going over across the radio, and everybody's, you know, excited, and we're excited when we're able to find a girl and, again, you know, saved from human trafficking. And then you begin to hear the story afterwards, right? They take her to the hospital. And this young lady, this 15-year-old girl who had just been brutally assaulted by a man that paid for her, was trying to get back to her pimp. She didn't understand that someone was there to get her out of this type of lifestyle, to get her away from this type of pain, to get her away from this type of... But that's why we're there. That's why we show up. That's why we come to a place of rescue, to where we can sit down and say, hey, how can we help you? Many times we'll start with, what do you dream about? What do you want to be? I've asked that question to so many kids. I sat across from one of the young men that we were able to locate in Vegas, and that's what I ask. What do you dream about? What do you want to be? This number that we see today, we know a new number is getting ready to come out for 2023. That number is estimated to be over 80 million people now caught in trafficking. But you know, what if one life is changed? Isn't that worth it? We use a hashtag all the time. One is a big number. We say it all the time. We believe it. One of our searches as we go into Vegas, they can cost upward to $10,000 to $15,000 for us to bring a team in to start searching, and that's a lot of money. Here's what we know. If we go in and we're looking for 30-some kids and we find one, that's a big number. Amen?
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.